Welcome back to another episode of the Plain Hooky Bow Fishing Podcast. I'm your host, Captain Cody. Before we get into this week's conversation, I just wanted to let you know, if you want to book a trip with us for the 2023 season, we do still have some open dates available. Now, I know Minnesota isn't exactly number one on everyone's list of states to bowfish, but there really are some amazing fisheries here, especially if you're coming from a state that is more restrictive on the types of fish that you can shoot. So whether you're coming from one of those states that's a little more restrictive, or you're looking to shoot your biggest common carp, or maybe you live in Minnesota and you just want to learn the rivers here a little bit better, we'd love to get you out on the water. I'll leave all our contact info in the show notes so that you can contact us if you want to book a trip. Next up is merch. If you want to get your hands on some Aim Lower merch, we have hats, t-shirts, hoodies, and we'll be adding more all the time. To get yours today, you can go to www.playandhookyguideservice.com/shop. I have one more thing here before we get into this week's episode. If you listen to this podcast and you think it's pretty okay, don't forget to leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to us. It really helps us out and is greatly appreciated. So thank you so much for doing that. And with that, let's get into this week's conversation. All right, here we are. We're on our drive home from the U.S. Open. We're in Iowa right now, and we're sick of being in the car, but we still got 4 hours to go, so we're going to talk about our experience this year at the Open. Had some fun, had some not fun, so who's in the car with me right now, just so everybody knows?
Driving is.
Yeah, Jason. Captain Jason, nice. Co-guide with Cody for Plain Hooky.
Krista's in the car right now, backseat.
And Jeff, I'm Krista's dad.
That's right. That's right. That's the dream team right there. So I'm sure those of you that listened to last year's episode on the Open, you remember my wife Calista. She did not make it this year. Yeah, my. I've got a baby at home, and he just could not hang without mom, so she had to stay back this year. So we were more than happy to have Jeff, as you guys will hear in a little bit, about our fun troubles that we had this year. Just like last year, Jeff was a huge help to that, so we were happy to have him this year for sure. So where do we start? We plan to come down on Thursday, which we did. We started the drive on Thursday, the Thursday before the Open, and we were gonna get down there at a decent time to where we could, check into the Airbnb and get settled, and then, head out for a night of scouting. Much like last year, we lost the night due to some vehicle troubles on the highway, and somebody want to tell that story about that?
I don't know that there's much of a story to be told other than Missouri DOT is going to be getting a bill in the mail. if anybody's driven through St. Louis, we were talking to somebody who was originally from St. Louis down at the Open. And as soon as we mentioned, we blew the trailer axle in St. Louis, he goes, oh, yeah. Like, he knew exactly. The roads were, they looked kind of like the moonwalk. Like, very similar to, But, yeah, we got, Cody's got a new boat, new to him this year. And this was our maiden voyage in it, right? You hadn't even tested it on the water except for the time that you bought it.
That's right.
And so, it's a used stuff and a used trailer. And I don't know what it is with bow fishermen, but you don't care at all about the trailer you use. Right. It's all about the boat. And so it's very much like mine, where it was a single axle trailer. Somebody converted to a tandem axle. Great. Some safety and some extra capacity there. That's awesome. But with that comes some sometimes interesting decisions that were made in the manufacturing process. And anyway, the lower shackle plate just shelled out on the freeway in St. Louis, and so that dropped the axle down, cut the tire. The tire actually held up, but was smoking the tire pretty good. And we had to pull over and stop, and we were just over the river, so I guess we were in Illinois. But
yeah, that's true.
beautiful, beautiful roadside stop. Heart of Illinois.
Yeah, for those of you in the Northland, you know what a ski hill with moguls looks like. It's a bunch of bumps on a ski hill that you ski between, and that's pretty much what the road looked like. It was.
That would have been smoother than what we encountered.
Yeah, it was rough. So, yeah, so, you know, we had to deal with that. That took up a lot of time. You know, we're out in the middle of the highway, and then we kind of had to, we tried to figure out a way to fix it out there, and we figured out a way to get it to limp to, you know, a place, a parking lot where we could work on it a little bit better, but we chained the axle up to the frame so that, you know, it would move, and then it was just swinging back and forth, but we didn't really have a choice. Drove to, I don't remember what, some gas station or some truck stop or something, and couldn't really find any parts that we needed anywhere close to us, and so we bought a couple of big, giant, heavy-duty straps, and we strapped them, you know, one up towards the front of the trailer, one towards the back of the trailer, to kind of lock it in place. And man, how many miles did we drive like that?
Hundreds.
Yeah.
Over 300 miles, I think.
Yeah.
With it strapped down.
Yeah, just ridiculous. So we had that going. The tire has, you know, the metal starting to come out on it. And the tire lasted even longer than 300 miles or whatever, because we didn't blow that until our drive home here.
Just a few hours ago.
Just a few hours ago. So, we'll get there. We'll get there. That's, this year when we were weighing in, one of the first things they said, Chris was up there, and you guys heard from Chris last episode. He was on the podcast, and the first thing he told Tim was about all our vehicle troubles the last couple of years, and so now that's kind of what people know us for and in this tournament, which is fun.
It's what we know us for.
It's what we know us for, yeah. So, yeah, we ended up, you know, eventually getting to the Airbnb. What time did we get there? It was after midnight, wasn't it?
12:30, yeah.
12:30, yeah. So, and we were so done being in the vehicle and fixing crap and whatever. We went straight to bed. And then the next morning, we got up and we drove like an hour and a half to a welding and fabricating shop to try and get something made to fix the trailer, and that didn't really even like fix it. It just kind of made it better.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know much to say. I mean, it wasn't that they did a poor job. The guys at the shop were phenomenal. Yeah. What was the name of the shop again? They were.
I don't remember. I'll look up what the name of the shop was, and we'll give them a shout out on here if you're in Tennessee and you need some work done. These guys were great to work with. They were pretty affordable, and they like bow fishing. There was this one welder at the shop, and you know, when we got there, we had the boat off the trailer, and so it was just the trailer, and he was asking what the trailer was for. And we were telling him, yeah, it's for a bow fishing boat, and he was like really pumped about that, and he told us that when he was a kid, he used to ride from his mom's to his dad's house on horseback. They lived really close together. And in between those two houses was a bunch of fields that would flood in the spring, and the carp would all run in there. So he told us that he used to, on horseback, ride into these fields with a bow and shoot fish with a bow off of a horse. And so that's...
We think we're like so badass, right? Yeah. Like in a boat with the lights, like yeah. And this guy's out here like 10 years old, shooting fish off of a horse.
It doesn't get any better than that.
I just think you need to start a new charter operation, horseback
boat fishing. Oh my gosh,
it needs to be a thing.
It really does. It really does. Yeah, that's you don't even need a bat to bash the fish when they come in, because the horse will clobber them for it. But they were great to work with. We'll link them in the description of this episode if you're in Tennessee and need some welding. So they did the best they could with what we gave them. We also came back with U-bolts that they didn't have the right U-bolts at the tractor supply we went to, so we just you know, grabbed the closest thing, and they just kind of retrofitted on there to get us by for a while. And that ate up a lot of time, because we had the drive time and then be in there while they were doing it, and then we made another stop on the way back
to get the correct part.
So eventually, after we got done with all that, took another break back at the cabin, we went out and we launched at this marina, and just kind of more so, we were just kind of going out and getting the lay of the land. And, you know, again, we hadn't really, I hadn't run this boat at all since doing the work on it, since I've had it. So we were testing all that out, and the first place we went to was just loaded. How many fish do you think were in there?
Oh, we didn't want to spook them all off. We had probably seen like 4 dozen fish.
Yeah.
By the time we were like, okay, this area is locked. Let's get out of here.
Yeah. And so that, we were pretty excited about that. And then we went across the lake, way kind of over on the other side, and we found a few more, but a lot of like good potential places. And so we were pretty excited about that. We get back to the cabin, everybody's getting all pumped up about that, still working on the trailer. And that's another thing. Jason and I got to go out and, you know, test everything out, and while we were doing that, Krista and Jeff stayed back and continued working on the trailer. So, you know, kind of a little bit of MVPs right there for sure. But then eventually all four of us went out at night and checked a couple more spots. What did you guys think? What was your first impressions? Once we got out there and got the lights on and saw the fish right away, what were you guys thinking back there?
Well, the one farther place that we went to, when we pulled up there at the light, with the lights on, I have not seen fish that big. We were all in awe of some of the size of those fish that were in there.
Yeah.
We got really pumped up for that, so.
Absolutely. What about you, Krista?
Yeah, it was hopeful. I had a lot of hope just seeing some, actually being able to go out and scout and see what we did see that night, and I got excited. I got pretty jacked up.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, well, you guys heard, Missouri is not our friend, and the fisheries anyway, we still haven't figured them out. To actually, you know, get out there and right away be on fish, we were pretty pumped. We were pretty pumped about it. But yeah, then what?
Saturday, go from there. Yeah, then we're
scouted, came back in, went to bed, got up, and that was Saturday.
Yeah.
It's tournament day.
Yeah, we drove into Nashville and said hi to some people. And Chris helped us out. We found a barrel and we cut the top. It had a top on it still, and we cut it off. And I don't know what was in there, man,
vinegar.
But it did not.
It was vinegar.
It was bad.
One guy said it smelled like a bad Easter egg. The boat next to us, I don't remember.
Yeah, you could see a couple of the boats around us. It was very potent, and it kind of spread around, and you could tell when one of the boats smelled it in the air just by looking at them, you know? They were like, what the heck?
Everybody's got boats that are full of nasty fish guts that are rotted, and you know that smell.
Yeah.
And guys are sitting in their boats with that smell wafting around them, and as soon as that bucket hit them, they went, oh, God. What got them.
You find a free barrel.
That's right.
You gotta grab the barrel for the fish.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm really glad we did. Because I ended up owing Cody a barrel. We'll get to that later.
That we will. Yeah, that's a real thing. Paid your tab ahead of time. We showed up, we said hi to some folks, hung out, and I mean, as busy as Nashville is and as busy as that parking lot and the streets were, it was nice to be at a place where you could last minute get things that you needed and, you know, stuff like that. I mean,
like a push pole and a throwable.
Like a push pole and a throwable. That's right. Yeah. When we were, before the the rules thing, I realized we didn't have a throwable, so glad we were there. And then while we were out scouting, we realized how necessary a push pole was going to be, and so we were able to get that as well. Wish it would have been a cheaper push pole, but we got one. It was good. It was good we had it. But
yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, I mean, we liked that. The busyness of it wasn't a huge fan of that, I guess. But it's, you can't really change that when you're in Nashville, you know. But yeah, I mean, then it was blast off time. We hit the road. And ordered our Subway ahead of time. That came in pretty clutch. We didn't have to...
You're giving away the secrets. I don't know. Everybody's gonna...
Now everybody's going to do that next year. Yeah, pro tip. Order your food for pickup before you get to your place so that you don't have to wait forever to get it. But, yeah. Then we launched and went to our spot. And turns out a few other people also found that spot because we had two or three other boats trailing us when we had a pretty decent launch space, and so we got there before anybody else did to this spot. But yeah, we had a couple other boats trailing us, and yeah, I mean, we were shooting fish right away.
Fish right away, yeah.
Yeah, they were still there, so that was good. How many fish do you think we got in that first spot?
The first spot was nine.
Eight or nine.
Yeah, but we were also like, we took a couple fun shots because we'd never shot a spotted gar.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I want to add that to my list. So yep. I shot a couple of them, and so did you, I think, at that point.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, shot several there.
Yeah. Spotted gar, we got into grassies. I shot my first grassy in there. That was fun. I think we got some commons in there too.
Yep. Maybe one or two, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a really good start to the night.
Yeah.
Just like, again, just up the morale. For the beginning of the night, to just in the first 2 hours, we were on fish the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, seriously. Yeah, I mean, like, in the first 2 hours, we had more fish than we did in our first year of the whole tournament.
Yes,
right?
That's true.
I mean, we didn't, the first year of this, that we did this tournament, we did not do very well. So, so yeah, that was really great. Went to our next spot, and then we just kind of, we went to our next spot. And this was like, it wasn't like a spot, it was just kind of like a big area, like a big, I don't even know what you'd call it. It was several areas, but it was all like connected. And yeah, we got into a bunch of fish over there. That's where we first saw, during the tournament, that's where we first had the silvers that were jumping.
Yeah.
We started seeing a few of those jumping up and down. That was fun. We saw someone we were scouting too, but this weekend was like the first time any of us have been in person to see that. I mean, everybody sees it in the videos, but
yeah.
So that was really cool. And shot some fish, and then we went across the lake to another spot, and it was kind of like three little spots, three kind of big spots all connected, and shot some fish in there. Jason, you got a glimpse at the biggest fish of the night. We didn't shoot it, but you got to see it.
Yeah, I saw the shadow of it, or, you know, it looks like this blurry submarine under the water. It was a distance off in the edge of the lights, but, man, that thing, I like, all night I was jacked, because I was like, gosh, that had to be close to 50 pounds, and then we started seeing all these 50-pound fish at the weigh-in, and I was like, yeah, it was probably a good 40-pound fish, but it was gigantic. I mean, it was, had to be a silver, or maybe a big grassy, but it was kind of off in the, you know, in the depth, so I don't think it was a grassy, but,
yeah.
I took a shot. It was probably 30, 40 yards out, but I took a shot, and we didn't land it. But.
Yeah. Could have been a big hit.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. Big hit, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, and then we kind of just stayed in those three little areas for the rest of the night, because there was fish in all of them.
Yeah.
So.
Just kept shooting.
Yeah. And then, then it was time to head back.
Nope.
And Krista, I would love to hear your perspective on the boat ride home.
Well, it was fine. Everything was fine. All night long, everything was fine. We're hitting fish. We're on fish. The night went so fast, we didn't even turn music on, which is something we've always said we needed just to kind of keep the morale up. is listening to the music, and we didn't turn it on at all. And we started headed back, and I said, wow, it's getting kind of windy at the last few stops we were at. But I was like, it's okay, it's warm, and the beautiful weather has been amazing all night long. We've honestly lucked out so much, and then we had a long haul back in gale force wind with huge, huge waves that, it was terrifying, I'm not gonna lie. I was a little afraid for my life and wanted to get to land. I hated it.
I don't know if any of you have driven a flat bottom boat into the wind, but if you have, I mean, you know how well they handle it. Pretty well, right?
Remarkably well.
Great. Wonderful.
Yeah, it was awful. It was, and we were, I mean, it was coming right down the channel, so it had a ton of space to get really ramped up and get those waves just huge. So
we started the night very dry, ended it pretty much dry, and then got back to the, you know, launch soaking wet.
Before we got back to the launch, though, you have kind of a unique perspective on what it's like to be a woman out in a bow fishing boat.
Oh my gosh.
What's that like, if, you know, in the middle of the night after you've had three energy drinks?
Okay, so three energy drinks and three waters in. Guys, you have to pee. Like, there is no joke, y'all have to pee, and you can easily go stand anywhere off the boat and just pee. Well, if Go Girl's listening to this, I'd love for you to sponsor Cody's podcast.
That's right.
And get some Go Girls for these girls.
That's right.
So, this is the first time I've actually ever been in the tournament, though, without another woman. And so, we've figured it out in the past. I don't remember how, but we figured it out. This year, I didn't figure it out so good. And this is why I said I owed Cody a barrel. Well, I found the barrel and replaced the barrel, because the one I used to pee in, I went to wash out at 4 a.m. and we were going too fast.
We were going real fast.
We were going pretty good.
And I lost it in the Kentucky Lake. So I'm so sorry to the Kentucky Lake, but I lost the barrel and bruised up my arm and my knee pretty bad trying to rinse out that barrel. But you know what? The excuse is, I had to pee at 4 a.m.
That's right. You're not thinking straight at 4 a.m.
I'm not thinking straight at all.
Yeah.
And now you have an order of Go Girls on the way from
I do have
Amazon
an order of Go Girls. It's on Amazon order right now. But again, Go Girl, if you want, we would love for you to sponsor this podcast.
1 second. Chris is picking up the barrel. We turn her back around. We hear, thunk, 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 thunk. Look back, and there's Krista, but there's no barrel. I don't know.
I couldn't hold my laughter anymore. I was laughing too hard. But I didn't have to pee anymore, so we'll just stay there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that noise that it makes actually reminds me of something else that happened that made a similar noise.
Oh, my gosh.
When Jeff was in the back of the boat. Jeff, what was that about? What happened back there?
I had gone to the back of the boat. I don't remember exactly what I was jumping down there for, but I had heard, looking towards the front deck where you guys were, and I heard Krista scream, and she goes, "It's in the boat!" And I heard a bunch of crashing. Well, I turn around and hear it. The fish jumped right into the back of the boat, and it's banging around on the gas can and the gas lines back there. And I don't want to run an arrow through it. Well, it's standing. So I just kind of stepped on it to stop it from flopping around, to keep it from dragging the gas line. I mean, these things jump right into the boat. It was good 8-10 pounds. And as I'm looking at this thing, I don't know, with the eyes on it, you don't know if it's upside down or right side up. And the other ones, when they're swimming around, the smaller ones, they're what you guys call them now?
Silvers.
They're silvers.
Yeah. But
the smaller ones, you can see them. They go out, dart out away from the boat, then they suddenly turn, sharp turn, come back, and then you hear a thud. They run right into the boat bottom. I says, these fish are totally confused. But it was a lot of fun. I did have a lot of fun. I don't know if I'd want to travel this far to shoot at carp again, especially with the trouble that we had. The community of these bow hunters, bow fishermen, I mean, are great guys. very talkative, give you all kinds of tips. They're not going to tell you where they're going, but that's something common among the fishermen. But they are a great bunch of guys. I had a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And those listeners, you guys know, we talk about that all the time, how much we like the bow fishing community and all the awesome encounters we've had with them and how much we love being a part of it.
Well, bringing that full circle, so a year ago, go back and listen to that episode about the trouble we had getting to the open last year, and Linda saved our butts in such a great way and went so far out of her own way to help a completely random group of people that she had nothing in common with except the fact that we bow fished. And bring that around now to this year. We talked about Linda on the podcast. We've told so many people about how awesome the bow fishing community is. And we're getting ready to leave. We just got done with the weigh-in. We're getting in the truck this year to leave and get the heck out of town. And Linda's husband, and for the love of me, can't remember his name, and I'm so sorry, but Linda's husband comes up. He's like, "Hey, y'all had trouble again this year?" And we're like, yeah, you know. He goes, "Well, my wife helped you out last year." You know, we got to meet Linda's husband because of this. And you know, again, we were just eternally grateful for the community of bow fishers. But, you know, the people remember that. And now, you know, if I see a bow fishing rig on the side of the road, I'm probably just going to drive by because I know how much trouble it is. No, we would all stop in a heartbeat, you know, and it's that parking lot full of people, like Jeff is saying, like everybody's just, "Oh, hey, you need this?" Well, I mean, we were borrowing a voltmeter from the team next to us that they didn't even have it. They just knew somebody else who had it, so they went and asked him for us, you know, on our behalf, and we were, it's so cool to see a group of people like that. It's almost unparalleled. I don't know another group that's like that.
I mean, like I said, we love being a part of it. It's awesome. Super awesome. So yeah, we ended up with 210 pounds, 20 fish. This is the first year we filled it with 20 fish. Honestly, we've never even done that. So because
we actually shot more and actually had to cull.
That's right, we culled. That has not happened to us before. Yeah, no, it was awesome. It was awesome. I like Tennessee is a fun place to shoot. We loved that. And I don't know what place we got. I'm sure by the time this comes out, it'll show us somewhere way far down the line. We're there somewhere. I don't know. But I mean, you think about it. I mean, one day of scouting.
An afternoon and a night.
Yeah.
It was all we had.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'll take that. Take that all day. So then we drove, you know, after the weigh-in, after we didn't win the boat, we drove a couple hours and then stayed in a hotel for the night, and we got our longhorn.
Wait. When we left launch to head back to weigh-in though, we randomly stopped for coffee.
Oh yeah.
We were so tired.
Yeah.
We randomly stopped for coffee and we're like, "You know what? Just stop." Yeah. And this angel at a coffee stop gave us free coffee.
That's right.
And said, "Have a good Sunday." Every time.
Yeah.
And we all checked out at separate times.
That's true.
Yeah, she was like Santa Claus with the coffee. Yes. Just giving it away to everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
You get a Oprah. You get a coffee.
You get a coffee.
And at the time, we were like, "Oh yeah, like this is cool. I mean, we'll get free coffee at the thing, but like this is cool to get some more." But then we didn't get free coffee or a burrito.
Or a breakfast burrito.
I don't want to dig it. We can talk about like the tournament and the operation
later.
Make that kind of like the closing part of this, but
sure.
That was a stop, and then you know, getting back to weigh in to roll, it was so cool. You know, I was wondering. I was like, "Oh my gosh, this people are gonna be backed up onto the freeway." Yeah. You know, the way that it was laid out. But they did an efficient job of getting at least everybody in.
Yeah.
you know, it wasn't labeled well enough, so there were some, like, you know, just rando cars that people were trying to get to Bass Pro or to the mall or something. They're like, what is happening? They're stuck in the sea of bass or of bow fishing boats, but, you know, they turned around and got out of there.
Watch out. Yeah. Construction on road ahead.
We're also joined by Patricia from Waze or whatever her name is. we're not going to bash Bass Pro or anything like that, but it's just like, you know.
You're around these things enough. I mean, if you're shooting the Open, chances are you've shot other tournaments.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's your little local one that, you know, you and 10 other guys get in on. You know, maybe it's something bigger, you know, Muzzy or the AMS, maybe it's the Cajun 8, whatever. But you kind of get a feel for how these things are run and how they should go. And then you get to the Open and it's, you know, it's a big stage, man. You know, it's national. Teams are coming from, I think it's 24 states, so half the United States are represented in this thing. And, we'll talk about it.
We'll get there. So anyway, then, we get out of there. We're heading home. We stop. We get our Longhorn in Kentucky. And that was...
They still haven't called us for the sponsorship.
No, I know. I'm waiting. I'm sure we got some in the mail.
Probably,
you know, when I get home, I'll open it up. But, I mean, once again, best meal of my life. It was great. Loved it. And then we're going to do the other 10-plus hours, you know, today, or when you guys hear this a week ago. And, you know, things were going fine. Things were going fine. And we're keep this in mind. We still are running this tire with all these literally since Thursday, and so, like, you know, we kind of knew it was gonna happen, right? Like, you can't drive a tire like that for a long time, right? I mean, we did, but, like, not any longer apparently, because then we're in Illinois, our favorite state, and then it blew up. So then we had to pull over and, you know, do some more roadside assistance and
stack rocks
to get the jack to do what we want. And at the time we're like bummed, right? Because it's like nobody, when you got a long haul, you don't want to make a bunch of unnecessary or unplanned stops. And you know, and of course we throw the spare on, but then we got to go stop and get another tire, just because it would be our luck another one would blow. So we got to grab another tire, and then we start running into a bunch of traffic, like a crazy amount of traffic on a freeway.
Well, our stop was at the exit where they were actually shoving everybody off. You couldn't continue on the interstate.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, that's very convenient, because we're getting off here to go to the, Rural King.
Rural King, that's what it was.
Rural King to get I knew they would have a spare tire, right? So that's where we were headed. I was like, oh, this is convenient, you know? And then we saw they weren't letting people back on, which made sense. They were forcing you off. They're not going to let you back on. So, like, why? You know, what's the deal? And then if y'all don't use Waze is phenomenal at rerouting you and getting you to the right spot, you know, to get you around traffic, you know, within minutes. It knows what's going on. And so it's routing us, and it's like, oh, take this frontage road for 25 miles. I was like, man, that's a long time. Why would it be 25 miles of frontage road? You know, there must be a small incident up ahead on the freeway. But then there was a guy blocking the frontage road, like in the city plow truck, the county plow truck. And he's like, nope, can't go. You know, he's shoving everybody off. You can't go anywhere near the freeway. And so we start going down the road, and then what did we end up finding out what's going on?
An entirely shut down freeway because of a dust storm. An absolute crazy dust storm, and what, 10 helicopters were called in? It's fatal dust storm shut down this freeway where people are just crashing all over the place, semis and cars and
My guess is that's making national news.
Absolutely.
We're still in the car, and it's still just hours after the event. Yeah. So.
But totally routed around it.
We'll put a link in the description of some of that info. We were looking at something online a little bit ago about it. But, yeah, I mean, this giant dust storm caused a giant pileup because it was so thick. Nobody could see anything, and they're, you know, slowing down and stopping. Well, then the other cars behind them can't see that they're stopped. They're crashing into them. I mean, there was fatalities. They called in helicopters, like she said, 10 helicopters. And, yeah, it was... I mean, it was a big thing. And it was, I mean, the wind that we've been driving in today is, like, nuts. It's so, so windy. And so, yeah, you combine that massive wind with freshly plowed fields, mm-hmm. and that all that topsoil is, you know, gets picked up and shoved out there. But, yeah, so, like, you know, I know last year we talked about, like, divine intervention and, you know, if our wheel for our vehicle last year would have come off, you know, 5 miles sooner, yeah. we would be
donors.
Massively injured and potentially dead. Well, kind of the similar thing. If we wouldn't have blown that tire, we wouldn't have had to make that big stop, and we probably would have been in that pileup. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a 20-30 minute stop total to, you know, pull off, get the tire, you know, jack it up and all that. And they had just closed that road down. We would have been 10 miles up the road in the middle of it.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know, man. It's kind of weird that it happened twice in a row. I don't know if it's like, you know, we can keep doing this and we're just going to almost avoid getting killed. Or if God's like, maybe you guys should just not. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but.
Fourth chime's a charm?
Fourth time.
So thanks.
It's the charm. Yeah, so, we're once again grateful to be alive, right?
Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
Absolutely. That's right. Man, yeah, because, I mean, at best case scenario, we would have gotten stuck in there and, you know, not gotten hurt or whatever, but then we would have been still there, probably.
Yeah, absolutely,
you know?
Still there.
So,
another day out from our families.
Yeah, and we just want to get home, see our children and our wives and husbands and
your husband.
Well, I was thinking of you, but I was like, oh yeah,
he's
that's right,
car.
Your husband is in the car, so yeah, just, you know.
Just my kids.
Yeah.
Just
kids, wives, friends.
Wives, friends.
People.
Dogs.
See other people. Dogs. I don't really want to see my dog, but.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so that's kind of the wrap up for our experience. I mean, we still got 3 hours and 40 minutes. I hope there's not like another piece that I record separately, you know. But
I was just going to say, we'll file episode 2.
Yeah, exactly.
Or part 2 if something happens in the next 4 hours. Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, but, yeah, the tournament.
The tournament, It was, you know, actually, before we jump in, I'm curious about Jeff's perspective, having never done a bow fishing tournament, but let alone one of this magnitude. I mean, you know, what was that like, you know, the tournament experience itself and the way it was run and how everything flowed? And
I was pulling in there. I wasn't expecting to see the amount of boats and how much money these guys have got into some of this equipment that they have. I mean, I was really surprised. It took a lot of pictures, like you say, and as far as the tournament, being, you know, I bull fished with Jason, my son-in-law, a few times, and I've always enjoyed it. It seems like time goes really quick. You know, you can go out there just after dark, and it's before you know it, it's 2:30 in the morning, and it seems like it's only been like an hour or two.
Yeah.
And so I've done it a few times before. To see this amount of people interested, and I know I said great bunch of guys earlier, but it's guys and gals. It's, I mean, there's families that are out there doing this.
Yeah.
There was
so cool.
there was a young boy that had shot.
Yep.
I think it was the record.
You shot two state records.
Yeah.
In the tournament, and wow, that he's hooked on it for life now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, as a family and everything like that. I thought it was run very well. Did a nice job. I know they were talking about, you know, having coffee. That would have been nice.
And burritos.
That would have been nice. And burritos, yeah. I'm not real big on breakfast burritos, but.
Nor are we,
nor
typically.
Are we. I'll eat
but
anything,
when it
though.
Is 9 a.m. and you've just been up for 26, 27, 28 hours, whatever it is, yeah. standing for, you know, yeah. 20 of that. A breakfast burrito, even if it's a cold breakfast,
right.
it tastes pretty good.
And even how great the guys and patient, all the everyone that was in the tournament and stuff. Mm-hmm. The next day, after being up all night, and then you know waiting for all the weigh-ins and stuff, everybody was in a really good mood.
Yeah.
I thought.
Yeah.
That was,
yeah.
So yeah, it was a lot of fun. I did have a lot of fun. I appreciate letting these guys drag along and. Try and do a little cleanup here and there. So it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
Awesome. Yeah, it is fun. It is, and it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot of coordinating on their part. It's a big tournament, and so you know the only reason we talk about the burritos and the coffee is because they've just had it in the past, right?
Yeah.
I mean, those of you
two
that
years
have shot
in a row.
It, yeah, you know, they've had it in the past, and so. You know, when they don't say they're not going to have it, we just expect them to have it. And so then when they didn't have it, we were just like, oh, that's surprising.
Yeah, and that's not, you know, to harp on the tournament itself.
Yeah.
These are just minor things. But another one was the blast order. We talked about it last year and how completely discombobulated it felt.
Yeah.
You know, I think I had said... What was our, whatever our number was, I was sitting there watching boats file out. We were in that upper lot, you know, the far back one.
Yeah.
And I watched, you know, far more boats than should have been before we got to go take off. And finally, I just started going.
Yeah.
And Chris was up there, actually. We didn't really know him at the time. We just had seen him before. And Chris is like, whoa, whoa. You know, he kind of like holds up his hands like, what the heck are you doing, man? We're not going yet. And I rolled down my window and I'm like, hey, you know, like, we should be going. He goes, well, what number are you? And I said, 62 or whatever it was we were. And he goes, oh yeah, go.
Yep.
You know, and there was a guy, you know, next to us, I remember, like, looked over and was like, what the, you know,
yeah.
He got all pissed because now this boat next to him is going and he thought he should be going too. Well, you know, so this year you've talked to Chris quite a bit. You've had him on the podcast.
Yep.
And this wasn't Chris's fault or Bass Pro's because they had contracted out that blast order thing, as far as I understand.
Yeah, yep.
And so, you know, we talked about it up and down. Like, it's pretty simple, you know, to figure out how to get people to leave the parking lot in order when you know what order they should be in ahead of time.
Yeah.
And this year it was so awesome pulling in. They're like, what's your number? Sweet. They slap it on your windshield, on your boat motor.
Yep.
And so we thought, sweet, this is how it's going to go. We pulled down the aisle they told us to go down. And then I started looking around. I'm like, well, shoot, we're next to, you know, we were 43, right?
Yep.
And we're next to boat 16
yep.
and 87 and 112. I'm like, how is this happening?
Yeah.
And then they let us go in those rows or in those blocks. And... again, this might be overly picky about minor things, but when they do the random draw for, you know, the teams that register in the first 24 hours, you get that random draw, you get that number, and you're thinking in your head, okay, we're the 43rd boat out of the parking lot.
Yeah.
And you start planning on that. I mean, you plan for that.
Yeah.
You think about, okay, well, let's say 10 boats are going to the same lake as we are. You know, how many of them might use the same access? What, you know, it goes in your planning. And it was confusing to watch. And, you know, and Chris, I think, did what he was told to do or what the directors wanted or whatever, however it is. Chris genuinely thought that he, you know, hey, we got this on lock. And he did for the way that it was set up, but it still was not in order.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, boat 16 left right before us.
Yeah.
We were staring at 1-6
yep.
as we were pulling out.
And we're 43.
And we're 43.
48. Or
you know, I'm like, so the way that it seemed to be organized was in blocks.
Yep.
You know, like 1 through 25 or 1 through 50. They were all put in the same area. And the trucks that got there first were put in the right area, but they were the ones at the front of the line.
Yeah.
And then it kept filing down from there. So, and if that's the way it was intended to be, it would be awesome for Bass Pro to just tell people that's what you should expect.
Yeah.
Or do the random draw and say, hey, you're in block one, which is 1 through 50. And now we know next year, well, shoot, when registration opens at noon or whenever it is, if we want to be first up, we got to get there.
Yep.
We got to be there at noon.
Yep.
You know, we rolled in there, what, 3:30 or so because we knew we had time.
Yeah.
Because we thought we had time because we were boat 43. We know exactly where we're launching. And, you know, so that's a... You know, if other people have been in other tournaments and have had an assigned order or even a random draw blast order, you know, while you're floating on the water, I've seen that before, at least you know what to expect. If it's a shotgun start, you know what to expect. And I'm sure there's people listening going, oh, yeah, you know, like they probably noticed the same thing as well. And it's confusing,
yep.
to say the least.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it was an improvement from last year because last year was just complete chaos.
Free for all.
Free for all.
You just go.
Yeah. But yeah, it just was not what was expected and not really even what was advertised. And so, yeah, I mean, it actually ended up working out better for us because, you know, they had rows of about 20, 25 people, and the first row went, and we were in the second row at the top of the second row, and so we went... before 40, whatever we were.
Yeah, you know? we were probably boat 25, 28, yeah. 30, whatever.
Yeah.
We were definitely before the 43rd.
Yep. So, yeah, that was just, it was interesting. You know, that was interesting. I don't know.
And just to let them know, you remember some of the numbers in case someone, you know, random, as far as the weights of the fish, the top prize guys were, mm-hmm. how many pounds? You and I remember what was the one that was 64 pounds, that one fish. That
the grass carp.
Yeah, so the biggest grass carp caught. And then the first place winners were,
yeah, what?
They were up over 600 pounds.
Yeah.
For 20 fish.
Yeah.
I mean, these things were just massive fish that they were shooting, so.
Yeah, first place was, for those that weren't there, first place was all big heads. They were the big head shooters. And, they had over 600 pounds, really nice fish. I think their biggest one was 50-something, really good ones. The outsiders who've been on here before came in a solid third place, and they were the ones that got that 64-pound grassy. And, that was a big fish. That was 60. I've never seen one that big before. That was nuts. But, and I think... top five teams were right around, you know, a little under 500 and above, probably.
Yep.
So.
I think we were right around average for 200.
Well, for us, yeah.
Yep. Yep. Well, I'm sure we'll be right in the middle somewhere.
Yeah.
But, we talked to one team who was there for a week, and they got 290. And so... You know, I'm not like bashing them or anything, but it's like if we can get 210 for an afternoon and a night scouting, like I think that's really good.
Well, I think that also speaks to the opportunity that this tournament presents in general. Every year, the bodies of water are so vast.
Right.
Just the bodies of water. And then they're like, oh yeah, by the way, there's four or five of these types of bodies of water you can shoot. Which is just phenomenal. And so, you know, I'm sure there's people that are like, man, we got to spend $14,000 to get down there and scout and do all this stuff. And you really don't. You know, you can afford to lose a tire on your truck or blow a leaf spring on your trailer, fix it, lose a night of scouting, you know, and lose most of the next day of scouting and still go figure some stuff out.
Yep.
You know, you don't have to have that much into it.
Yeah.
You know, there's guys that show up the day of. Granted, it's their local, it's their home waters, but they show up the day of and they're like, you know, all right, we'll give it a shot.
Well, who did we talk to that lost their main motor and ended up having to use their troller on the same lake we were on?
Yeah. Well, it was one of the teams that launched right after us.
Right after us.
And if they listen, I don't know if they listen to this, but they'll remember, you know, we launched, they were pulling out, we were pulling, you know, we were first in the water, so we were, like, scooting along, trying to beat everybody to that little spot. And, yeah, he's like, yeah, we fired it up, we started going, we lost the main mortar right away, and so we just, they went and loaded back up. And went to a different launch where they knew that they could use their troller all day.
Yep.
You know, it's a, there's something for everybody. Yeah. You know, the airboats can go do their, you know, make their ruckus and do their thing wherever they want. The troller guys had an excellent opportunity for those big heads.
Yeah.
You know, nice and quiet, just, you know, coasting in there without any sound. And then the mud motor guys and the main kicker guys can go and rip around and find bodies of water to shoot, or find places within these bodies of water to shoot. There's something for everybody.
Or you just have the fish jump right in your boat.
That's the easiest, by far the easiest fish.
Absolutely.
The ones that jump in the boat.
Yeah, and I saw a post a little bit ago about not the same guys we were just talking about, but another team that didn't, their main motor went out and they just had a troller, and they were upper 300 pounds.
That's awesome.
You know, for their 20 awesome. Fish. Anybody can win it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, might seem intimidating, you know, U.S. Open, biggest tournament in the nation. You see, especially, like, if you've never done it, in the first year you show up, you see all these, I mean, just like Jeff was talking about, like, how much money people have into this and, like, all of this stuff, and you're like, wow, like, I don't know if I can compete with these guys, but, I mean, you can. And the guy, I mean, yeah, the guys who won this year for big heads, they just a troller boat, you know?
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
And the guys that, you know, that won the previous 2 years before last year, TKO, you know, I'm not calling them out, but they had, you know, like very few fish last year.
Yeah.
You know, and they're one of the top teams in the nation, you know, and still are. It's just, you can have a great night on dumb luck, or you can have as much scouting as you've ever done in your life and come up with, oh shoot, they're not here tonight.
Yep.
Or they're here, but all of a sudden the water is milk and chocolate milk and we can't see them.
Yep.
So
exactly.
The deal is,
it's anybody's game.
Yeah. And it's an adventure. You're going for an adventure and an experience with your team and not just banking on let's win, let's do this. I mean, you want that. Yeah, absolutely. Cause that's what a tournament's all about, right?
Coming home with 30K in your pocket is a little better.
Would be cool.
That's right.
Or a new boat would be cool. But now I've got all these awesome memories, especially with, like, my friends and my dad and my husband. And every year it's come home with these amazing memories that are obviously priceless, if we want to get, like, all cheesy and stuff. But I know all of you guys listening to this, too, are like, oh, yeah, I've got all those inside jokes going along with it. And that's worth more in my lifetime than winning a tournament.
Absolutely. We've talked about it on here before. You get a lot better stories from, you know, all the crap that goes wrong on tournament night and versus the winning night, you know?
Yeah.
So,
I happen to forgot about the line getting caught in the mud hole.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, I shot a fish on tournament night, and I'm reeling it in. Okay, I don't know if this is a thing, but, like, all these fish in Tennessee, like, lose their crap they get shot. It's not, I mean, some of them are like that in Minnesota, but, like, usually you could tire them out pretty quick and drag them in, but these things, they did not want to come in, man. Every single one of them screamed to the back of the boat. But, so this one did the same thing. It's running way back to the boat. It was a decent-sized buff. And I'm back there. And from the front, it kind of looks like I have it pretty much in. And, like, okay, here we go. But, you know, from the back where I am fighting the fish, I can tell it's, you know, it's out there still. Well, we ended up starting the, you know, moving the mud motor again.
Jason.
Okay, well, I was trying to keep you incognito, but yeah, it was Jason. Okay, there, we said it. Jason started the mud motor while I was still fighting that fish back there, and of course, the fish, you know, runs toward the mud motor, and my line got all tangled up in there, and oh, it was just a mess.
It was a party.
It was a party, yeah, and so, you know, I trim it up and I step back there and standing on the mud motor, and of course it cut the fish and the arrow off. There's no hope of that. That's gone. But it left all of that line twisted up in there. And for some reason, even though there wasn't an arrow and line attached to the other side, I could not get it out. And I mean, how long was I sitting back there? 10, 15 minutes?
Longer than you should have.
Longer than I should have been. We should have just started it up and sent it. But yeah, I just, you know. Well, yeah, especially a mud motor. Like, who cares?
Committed though, man.
Yeah. Like, on an outboard, you want to get that out of there right away. But yeah, on a mud motor, there was so much grass and sticks back there tangled up in it. But yeah, so that ate up quite a bit of time. That was really annoying, but we got through it.
That's cool. It gave me the opportunity to pee the first time.
That's
the
right.
Correct way.
Yeah.
Without the boat moving.
Yes.
Yeah, without the boat moving.
Yep. So that when you rinsed it, yeah.
Correct.
It
got to rinse it. Yeah. Still instead not
when,
at 4 a.m.
Yeah, instead of when we were going 7
That's
miles
fine.
An hour. And, yeah.
That's fine.
That's good. Yeah, so we think closing thoughts. Closing thoughts. What we got?
I think every year when... Every year we've experienced this anyway. I kind of expect... Like, I've done a lot of bass fishing. And I kind of expect that attitude from other... We'll call them professional anglers, right? Like, everybody out there at the tournament... Not everybody's a professional. Not everybody's guiding or doing this for a business. But you know, to a certain degree, you know, you think you could actually do well, you know? So you show up to the open. You know, there's a lot of money on the line. It's a big tournament.
Yeah.
And so in the bass fishing world, like, you show up and you expect, like, some cocky dudes. And you expect some attitudes and, you know, kind of this, like, talk to me but don't talk to me kind of vibe. And not that bass fishermen are jerks, but it's a different world. And I kind of expected that going into bow fishing. And now every year at the Open, it doesn't matter if you're the top team, you know, $190,000 airboat you're towing behind your $120,000 truck, or if you're the guys that roll in with a ratted out, you know, Chevy with the doors falling off and a 14-foot boat behind you, everybody's just chatting and having a great time. It's such a cool community, and I cannot emphasize that enough. If you haven't checked out a tournament with bowfisher people, definitely do it.
10 out of 10 recommend. What about you guys, any closing thoughts?
I was just going to ask, I guess you bring up the subject of stopping at gas stations with bull fishing boats.
This is the closing
this
conversation.
This is the closing conversation.
Well, we're close to the closing conversation, but let's start with this one.
I'm going to preface this with, if you guys are listening and you have a good story about what people have guessed you're doing with your bow fishing boat, please send that in to me. I'll read some of them on the podcast, because this is an ongoing joke for us about all of these people that look at your boat, even if it says bow fishing on it, and you can see the word bow fishing, and you put two and two together, okay, fishing, bow, and you see the bow and arrows, like, you know, a normal, like, good thinking person can be like, okay, they shoot fish with a bow, right? Well, for some reason, we pull up to gas stations and people just throw common sense out the window. And
it always starts with what?
All right. Gotta know.
Come sauntering up to you from the gas station, you know, the pump next to you.
Yep.
All right. What's that for?
Yep.
All right.
After you've been peering at, you know, you can see them. They've been looking at it for 5 minutes.
Oh, they're creeping.
They're trying. You can see the wheels turning. They're like, what is going on here? What are these guys doing?
So where are you at?
So Jeff got to talk to one of them.
So I was just outside the hotel just the other evening, and I was on the phone talking to my wife, and I noticed this one guy he couldn't stop looking at the boat. He's coming around. He's kind of lurking around it. And I'm on the phone, and he sees him on the phone, and he's almost like he's waiting for me to get off the phone. So now, if you guys, you know, are tired, been out all night, and you stop at the gas station, just grab your phone and act like you're on the phone if you don't want to give out the information. But otherwise, just have fun with it. I mean, that's what I would do.
Yeah, you can tell them you're what? Doing a concert on the water?
That was Cody's, wasn't it?
Yeah. I've had somebody, they're like, what do you use that boat for? And I tell them, and they're like, oh, I thought you were like putting on like concerts on the water with those big spotlights.
It's when people are serious about it, though, that makes you just go, wait, what? Krista had a good one last year when we were heading up to the cabin in Minnesota, keep in mind.
Minnesota.
One of the northernmost states.
Stop at a Jimmy John's.
And what happened?
He goes, what do you guys use that boat for? Or his wife asked. It was a man and a woman, and his wife asked, what do you guys were you use that boat for? And he goes, honey, that's for gator fishing. And I was like, yeah, no. We're in Minnesota for one. We're not shooting gators. And two, I gotta go.
I gotta go.
Well, I don't wanna.
Luckily, they were just passing by you and you heard them say that. You didn't have to have that conversation.
Yes, just no.
But
he was confident, though.
Oh, yeah.
We're
honey,
shooting
that's
gators.
For gators.
Oh, 100%.
For gators.
All those northern gators.
Woo!
I think my favorite one is how do you get the arrows back?
How do you get the arrows back?
You know, is that legal?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's it.
No, we're just out here outlawing it, you know, like shooting from the hip. No, how do you get the arrows back? Well, I don't know. We wait for the fish to float up, hopefully. it seems like a failed question, but then again, it's like, come on.
No kidding.
You have the wealth of the entire knowledge of mankind in your pocket on your smartphone. Just Google it.
That's right.
Google both.
Before you ask dumb questions.
Or just ask, what is it for? Don't try and guess, you know? Don't try and guess because you're wrong.
You know what? We like the guesses.
We do.
It makes for a good story. So again, write in. Cody will read them on the podcast.
That's right. Yeah, please. I would love that. I would love that. So we had another guy who was like, you guys do a lot of bass fishing then? What?
Well, the guy on the way down.
That doesn't make any sense. Bass fishing? No.
Yeah, he's a middle of Iowa. Oh, you do a lot of bass fishing out of that? No, it's for bow fishing. He goes, oh, my brother's out turkey hunting with a bow.
Okay.
I cannot wait, honestly, to hear other people's interactions. Because if we have these...
Everybody does.
In our limited experience, there's going to be some good ones out there.
Yeah. Yeah. So next episode, I'll read what you guys have. Send them in. Would love to see that. So that'll be our closing thoughts. And
No.
Uh-oh.
What?
I'm not ready to close.
Okay. Chris is not ready to close.
I'm not ready to close. So this
Let's
is
hear
my
it.
Third year being in this tournament. And I've been shooting fish for four or five years with you guys. And I would have obviously never gotten into it had my husband and friends not said, like, hey, let's go try this. But here's the deal. Obviously, I'm a girl. I pee in buckets and
right.
lose them in the lake.
Yeah, you do. It checks out.
But I also shoot fish. And I hit them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was raised with a father who's in the car with me right now who also brought me hunting with him and told me, yeah, I can do that too. No, you don't have to be a boy. And when I go to these tournaments, it is very man. It's very manly. And during weigh-ins, I don't ever feel like I should be there or that I don't have a place there. But I want to tell you mostly, maybe it's men who listen to this podcast or some women. It would be awesome and amazing. And I want to meet you, like Linda.
Linda!
But the deal is, if you are a man and you have a wife or you have daughters or women in your life, have you ever asked them to come with you? Have you ever given them the
That's
opportunity?
Good.
Have you ever said, like, hey, let's do this together? Because if my husband or my friend or my dad had never said, like, hey, let's do this together, hey, you want to give it a try, I wouldn't have, and I wouldn't have known. And then that just creates that stigma that girls can't do it.
Yeah.
but girls can do it, and it needs to be bigger.
Yeah.
And girls need to feel like they're invited to the party.
And you know, it's not for every girl, just like it's not for every boy,
no.
Right? Like, it's just, some people like it, some people don't. And it's just people. That's all it is, you know? I just saw on one of the bowfishing pages the other day, a guy did, like, an appreciation post for his wife because she has her own all-female team, and they run
so
their
awesome.
Own boat, and they run all that stuff. Like, we love seeing that. We need more of that in this sport.
Yeah, well, I can just tag on to that as men. You know, it's very, very easy to go into a fishing tournament, especially bow fishing. It's, you know, it's dirty. It's all night. It is tough work.
Yeah.
And for the women that do it, just that much more respect.
Yeah.
And as men, we should show that respect.
Yeah.
In so many different ways than what comes across. Because what you see is the ugly, stupid, misogynistic side of mankind, but men, like Chris, we have two daughters and a son, but our two daughters came first, and it's like, man, I have to learn to create a world that I want my daughters to grow up in, you know, and do I want to make those comments in front of other people, especially other people's kids, in front of my kids?
Yeah.
Is this something I would say in front of my daughters? Is this something I want them to be okay with hearing in public or at a community event like a bow fishing tournament? And most of the time, there's a fair amount of talk that gets flung around. It's like, man, come on.
Yeah.
Have some respect for yourself, for your wife, for your daughters, whatever, the women in your life, have some respect, because I guarantee if they were standing here, you wouldn't be saying that. And if you would still be, you're a complete dirtbag.
Yeah.
And or if you're driving around a golf cart and ask a girl who's sitting on a bow fishing boat whether or not the men are going to let you drive.
Drive.
Yeah.
I'm 37 years old. Are you going to let me drive? Yeah. That pisses me off.
Yeah.
And rightfully so.
And rightfully so. Absolutely.
Well, there's only, sometimes there's always that one person that can ruin your day like that. But,
absolutely.
I mean, for the most part, 99.9% of these guys and gals are great people.
100%. Yeah. 99.9% of them are absolutely amazing. But everybody and anybody should be welcome at these tournaments.
Oh, yeah.
And it's that 1% that makes you feel like you're not.
Yep. And they're usually loud. So
correct.
It feels like more than 1%.
Yep. Correct.
Yep.
So that's my closing thoughts, other than the fact that I had a blast and I'll probably do it again.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, I think a lot of the listeners on the podcast are some of the good ones. You know,
absolutely.
It seems like we got really, really good folks that listen to this, but maybe some of you are dirtbags. Maybe just don't be, you know? And if you have any friends that are dirtbags, maybe try and help them not be. Right. Yeah. I want my daughter to bowfish when she grows up.
Yeah.
You know, I want her to feel like this is her sport too. You know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that's a good thought to close on. I like that. Anybody else? Anything else?
Good.
Awesome. Well, cool.
Linda.
We'll see you in Wisconsin.
Go girl.
AMS.
Go girl. Let's go.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Awesome. Yeah. So. Don't be dirtbags. Get the women in your lives involved if they want to. Invite them out. Try a tournament. See what it's all about. Big one, a little one, doesn't matter.
Absolutely, try a tournament. Just put yourselves out there and you'll just have a blast doing it.
Immerse yourself in the bow fishing community. It's worth it. And thanks for listening. And we'll catch you on the next one. Thanks, everybody.